Off the ball.
Rugby.
And then with the players, they're just so supportive and, you know, you see it, like they play with their heart in their sleeve, and that's all you want from them, to do or die out there, and that's what they do.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 72 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. First half of the pod each week free to air. The second part exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we're going to focus on the flat horses to follow this season. We'll also get our charity bet. Subscribe now. Johnny, how's the form?
Very well, JD. Very well.
Are you a man for Easter eggs? Are you looking forward to Easter?
Yeah, I'm a man for Easter eggs. I read an article recently about how chocolate is like becoming harder and harder to get proper chocolate, and they need to move away from cocoa and all of that. But I'm partial to a bit of chocolate, yeah.
Yeah, good, good. Mm-hmm. We were watching Newmarket the last few days. The flat is back, as it were, and these are the trials for the guineas. And it was Judmont who won both races and John Gosden who won both races. So the Nell Gwyn Stakes won by Zanzoon, and then the Craven Stakes won by Field of Gold. I think Zanzoon will probably go for the French guineas, but Field of Gold will look to run in the 2,000 guineas.
Yeah, a bit of a story here. So I was at Tremore races last year, and Mick, who I met at the races, literally just met this guy at the races, very nice guy, and he said, sure, come down to the house, because I was staying overnight and I was going to go for a swim. And he came into the house anyway. I went into the house and he had four or five dogs, and one of them was called Elvis. And I said, why'd you call him Elvis? And he said, because when we found him, he was caught in a trap. Right? So this is no word of a lie, right? So I met Mick recently at Wexford races, right? And I this is a long-winded story, which has nothing to do with whether the horse would win the guineas or not. But I was at the races and I said, how are things? And he goes, we've had to do such and such with Elvis. He hasn't been that well, but he's recovering. He's doing well. So I had a camera woman with me, Emily, who was from Lithuania, I think. But I was telling her the story and I was like, you know, Elvis caught in a trap, and she'd no idea of the reference. So it was one of these moments where I was like, this woman is actually quite young relative to me, and this is a sign that I'm getting old, where I'm amazed she doesn't know this reference. After Field of Gold won the Craven, our childminder was there, and I said, oh my God, like all I can think of now is the Sting song, Fields of Gold or whatever. Totally lost on it. No idea. So I had to play her like Fields of Gold. I was like, this is like one of the most beautiful songs probably ever written. She'd no idea of the reference. She's mid-20s as well. So we're getting old, JD.
We are getting old.
Field of Gold was spectacular in the Craven.
And if you a grey horse.
Grey horse by Kingman, who
was second in the Guineas.
Second in the Guineas to Knight of Thunder. And as John Gosden said afterwards, Knight of Thunder has become a very, very hot stallion prospect. Kingman is a hot stallion prospect, but a lot of his stock tend to be a little bit on the quirky side. This horse, Field of Gold, is keen, but if you listen to John and Teddy Gosden have the license now, if you listen to John Gosden afterwards, he said, I wasn't even really worried at all about him winning the race today. He's just starting off. He ran quite gassy, and it said in the Racing Post that there might have been a pace collapse, and they raced a long way out, which they kind of did, but I mean, if they'd gone faster for him, it would have suited him. He was very, very keen, and the way he then sort of, if you look at a horse and you're trying to imagine what will happen in the Guineas as he goes back to Newmarket, steps up to a mile, and everything was flat out like in the last couple of furlongs, flat out. And Kieran Schumark was just like, I think he said afterwards, it didn't matter if there were 7 or 17 horse in front of me, it was just that much horse. Eventually goes away and wins. I think he's 5-2 with Hills. I don't see anything from the Irish Battalion.
You don't see Twain, no?
No, like, Twain's a funny horse, because when he won on debut, he was a massive price. And then when he won in France, he was again a big price, which he probably wasn't entitled to be, but he doesn't seem to be that flashy at home. The key for me, though, is that both of his runs have been on soft or heavy ground. And we're not sure what the ground will be like in the Guineas, but it'll be more likely to be something similar to what Lion and Winter faced yesterday. And obviously there was talk about, Lion and Winter on the Guineas. I'd never had him as a Guineas horse myself. He's going to the Dante now. But Field of Gold, 5-2. He's not going to go off 5-2 on the day. Sure, there's going to be all of the chat about him. He hammered everything. Hammered them.
Did you have any dogs at home growing up?
Yeah.
With as good a name as Elvis?
Elvis is a great name, yeah.
My dog's name is Roddy.
Roddy, after Roddy Collins?
No, it was before Roddy Collins' time.
Okay, your dog
in the limelight, yeah.
we had a dog called Risp and Rex, and I remember one time one of them just disappeared, and there was all this, I think my parents protected the story of what happened because there was allegations about what may have happened from the neighbours, did he go after the sheep and all this, and I was absolutely devastated. And then I didn't have much of a thing for pets, but in recent years then myself and a girl I was dating at the time, we got a Jack Russell called Mabel, and I loved her, like absolutely loved her. So yeah, there can be great. I met a guy lately on the train. He was a good age, and he was telling me that he's a dog at home, and that's his companion. And it was just lovely. Like, his wife has passed away a few years in Tullamore, and he was getting off the train. He'd been up to Vincent's Hospital, we both know, and he was getting off the train mid-80s, and I was sort of sitting beside him. He chatted to me, so I walked him to the door as he got off the train. He had his dog. That was his big thing, was his dog called Judy, because one day he caught the dog looking at Judge Judy, and he called the dog Judy. Genuinely, yeah. Genuinely, that's why he called the dog Judy.
Zanzoon.
They can be great companions.
Zanzoon is going to be in the French Guineas, maybe. I mean, she probably does need cutting the ground.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting as well. But I suppose, Khaled Abdullah / Judmont and Godolphin and John Gosden now look to have a strong hand. And the Irish, I don't know if the Irish classic horse, we'll talk a bit about my five to follow. I've Lake Victoria on it, but I don't know if the Irish Guineas horses are going to be able to deal with that. But it was good racing at Newmarket. Great to see good flat action back.
5 o'clock on Monday is the Irish Grand National, which we're going to look ahead to. Now, the declarations come out on Saturday after we record this, but I went through all 49 horses at the latest stage, so we have a good handle on it, folks.
Lots of horses taken out before, yeah.
3 miles, 5 furlongs, and it's a race which was first run in 1870, won by a horse called Sir Robert Peel. Remember, obviously, the Easter Rising in 1916, All Sorts was the name of the horse that won that time.
And Sir Robert Peel gave the name to Peelers, I think.
That's right, yeah. And we have, like, Tom Draper was 10-time winning trainer, Paddy Mullins, 4 wins. Brown Lad won the race 3 times in the 70s. Great connection with women jockeys in the race, like from Anne Ferris to Katie Walsh to Nina Carberry, all these, and Dot Love and Sandra Hughes trained winners of the race. So yeah, the family connections, the Carberries, the Moors. So it's a rich history, Johnny. Is it a race you enjoy? I mean, I think when you're looking for the kind of horses that are suitable for the race, you need to jump, you need to stay, like all the kind of traditional nationals. I think the Aintree Grand National is different now. But I was just going through it. In the last 10 runnings, you've had Outsiders win. You had Thunder and Roses in General Principle at 20-1. You had Lord Lariat at 40-1. You had Free Will and Dinan at 150-1. No horse older than 9 has won in the last 10 runnings of the race. And between 2000 and 2022, only one horse carried over 11 stone to win, our Duke. But the last couple of years, you've had horses over 11 stone win with that on their back. So I am Maximus and last year Intense Raffles. Maybe the class horses are coming back into it now.
Yeah, it's a bit of an endearing anachronism, this race, because you're still getting lots of long shots in it and lots of small trainers. It's not... Willie Mullins hadn't won it until... Was it
Burrow Saint?
Which was I'd actually forgotten that stat, because with Willie Mullins, there's so many stats in relation to him, albeit of a different kind, that you forget. Henry de Bromhead hasn't won the race. Gavin Cromwell hasn't won the race.
No.
When you think of how much 4 trainers have absolutely had National Hunt Racing in a stranglehold in the last sort of maybe decade or so, particularly Willie Mullins. Willie's done well in the race in recent years, but it took him so long. And the fact that Tom Gibney and Dermot McLaughlin could win it twice, both local trainers. I did a piece for Racing TV last week where we sort of went around the yards. Heather Downey, whose dad, Paddy, had a winner at Bellewstown in an all-Meath-dominated winning card on Saturday, which was kind of topical because I was going around the Meath trainers. We went to Gavin Cromwell, and we went to Screen Gallop C, Ian Donoghue's horse, and we went to Dermot McLaughlin's. And then we spoke to Robbie Power and Barry Geraghty, but just give a feeling for this is a locals race, and like Dermot McLaughlin's dad won the race as a rider, and he remembers just being dropped in the outfield or whatever and just being left there with all the kids, and then his dad would collect him after riding in the National or riding in the card. And I don't like these hot handicap chases for a bet, but in terms of the spectacle, and people still talk about Arkle gives so much weight away in races, we don't see the top horses running in handicaps that much anymore, and all the better if they did. And in fairness to this race, like, we had serious horses entered in this right up until the end. Better Days Ahead is now the top rated 154, but a lot of the the national horses, the entry national horses, basically, as you were alluding to there, were scratched. But this race had a hell of an entry. And why shouldn't it for 500 grand?
Yeah. I've had the winner three times, I was thinking, throughout my life.
That's good.
Muddahim, and I had David's Lad, and had General Principle. So three winners over the years.
David's Lad, that's going back.
Yeah, 2001, yeah. Timmy Murphy. And have you narrowed it down? I mean, I narrowed it down from 49 to about 4 or 5. So I've narrowed it down to High Class Hero, Haiti Couleur, She Could Be Anything, Daily Present, and Bushman's Pass, and also Val Dancer. I've come down to about 5 or 6 out of 49. Do you like any of those, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not Now Is the Hour? Just because he fell at Cheltenham? Or?
Now Is the Hour. Where is he now in the handicap? So he is, what number is he? Now Is the Hour. There's so many of these. We went through 49. Number 17, so he's a course winner. I think he needs to jump better. And why should he overturn the form with Haiti Couleur from Cheltenham?
Because he hadn't been asked, like, in fairness to him, he hadn't. I mean, Gavin Cromwell...
He used to jump better.
Yeah.
He
fell over hurdles. I mean, I remember that day. I think I was racing that day, or certainly I was around for one of his early wins. And he must have been 15 lengths clear at second last and fell. It was just one of these head and hands, well backed on the day. I was at Navan on his last novice chase run in a beginner's, where he was eye-catching, and that brought his mark kind of up. But I felt he was travelling well at Cheltenham, and I think what will help his chance, JD, is an awful lot of rain forecast tomorrow. I was at Ferry House last week when they were watering it, and I was thinking, like, it was that really hot spell of weather. I was like, the logistics of watering a track like this must be enormous. And, like, the reservoirs that they have on the track and all that. But there's a lot of rain. There was a good bit of rain this week. There's a lot of rain forecast tomorrow. So this will make the ground nicer for him. And at the prices, he's rated literally £2 higher than at Cheltenham. And he's rated better than Haiti Couleur is at Cheltenham. I'm not saying he would have won, but he's very likely race. As you say, he's a course winner. But it's a cracking renewal. Like, Haiti Couleur, he's obviously going to have a big chance. He might well go off favourite. I mean, Johnny Who and Daily Present. I watched that race at Cheltenham all through thinking Johnny Who's just going to win this. The Kim Muir.
But is it hard for horses to run so well at Cheltenham, or even to run at all at Cheltenham, and to go, you're talking about the way that local trainers might target this, and are fresher horses that have avoided Cheltenham better off?
Yeah,
you thinking this?
To be fair, I think this were actually your plan, that's preferable than, well, Cheltenham was your plan, and that was what, like, a month ago. So you're now, how do you, if you train a horse to peak at Cheltenham, and Johnny Who with his colours, like, basically, I'm not sure if you were backing him all year, were you getting the horse that you were getting at Cheltenham, if you know what I mean. JP McManus probably values Cheltenham more than the Irish National.
Okay.
And as such, John Neal has that challenge of getting the horse to stay competitive. He's also £6 higher for finishing second in what was a weaker race.
Well, where's Daily Present then in this then? I mean, he's up £7 for a career best.
I just think it's a better race. And if the race were run again, like John Joe, and, you know, they had that horse absolutely right at Cheltenham. He wasn't great at the last. And in fairness to him, the way he travelled in the race, he's more to offer. He's only a relatively young horse who has more to offer. But there are so many that have a chance. High Class Hero. I don't know what happened to him at Cheltenham last year, but other than that, he's been very, very consistent.
Now, only 3 regular chase starts, but he's very talented. Like, he beat Better Days Ahead over hurdles at Punchdown behind Dancing City last year in a grade one.
Yeah.
Like, he could be completely unexposed. You know, he is inexperienced, but he could be the most talented horse in the race. Ground, no issue with him as well.
No issue. And we'll probably, I mean, it could be a case on Monday evening where we talk about this for 10 minutes and we just say, why didn't we back Willie Mullins? Because he's just winning everything at the moment. But there are reasons to think that there are others in it. Sequestered isn't hopeless either. I spoke to Paul Gilling about him. He's in great nick and isn't necessarily badly awaited on his Irish form. Haiti Couleur obviously coming over, you'd have to respect. There are others at the sort of down towards the bottom of the race or of the weights that I give mention to. Dunboyne is a fascinating horse.
Has happened to Dunboyne? Because he lost his way under Gordon Elliott and he's now gone to Ian Patrick Donoghue.
Yeah.
And then he won last time out.
Like, Dunboyne is...
In the Ulster National. So I was thought this horse is a doubtful stare, but he won over the trip last time. He's just been revitalised for new surroundings.
I feel that's what it is. I tipped him in the Thaestes last year for much of the race I was very happy with how it was going, and between the last two he stopped to a walk. on desperately heavy ground and pulled up. Now, I was sort of thinking, you give him the benefit of the doubt here. Lo and behold, he rocked up at Punchestown the next day. I couldn't believe how he was 33-1. He was 33-1 after being 5-1 the Thiestes. And I think I tipped him up again. And much of the race, this is going great, pulled himself up. And then I was like, okay, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I know what you're doing here. Pulled up at Fairy House, pulled up at Leopardstown. And apparently Ian Donoghue's brother of Keith was just saying to the owner, just give me the horse, give me the horse. I'll freshen him up and it's worth a shot. So he brought him out hunting, didn't do much with him at home, just kept him sweet. 66-1 at Navan. He obviously didn't back him in a 15-runner handicap off a lower mark. Wins. And then turned up in the Ulster National. And in the run-in, it was him and Final Orders
yeah.
ridden by Keith Donoghue, who looks like he's going to win. Dunboyne apparently didn't handle the downhill that very well for James Smith and was headed after him, you know. Basically, Ian said with the circuit to go, his ears are pricked, this horse is going to win. But later on in that circuit, he was headed. And I was kind of wondering, what's he going to do here? He can't very well pull himself up because it's like Downpatrick doesn't really allow you to do that. He rallied and he won half readily by a half length. This would be a great story. Dunboyne, like, it invokes County Meath, the Boyne River, the old majestic Meath, the fortress of Meath, and Meath connections, a young Meath trainer. He's not hopeless. He's not hopeless on the form he's in. And Final Orders might run as well. And just below them is Kintyre Kalanisi for...
Yeah, he needs to jump better.
He needs to jump better. Obviously unseated at Naas, but he's a novice. And novices are the horses you probably want to be looking at in a race like this.
The one I like is Bushman's Pass. He was a good winner of the Leinster National, wearing cheek pieces. He's won on deep ground at Limerick. Sustained should be his game. The ground, I don't think, is an issue. He's also one of the course. He's very interesting off 10-5 for me. For Oliver McKiernan, if he can take to the challenge of the Irish National, Bushman's Pass.
Bushman's Pass has done very well.
25-1 shot.
I am going to, for my charity bet, I'm going to give one at a good price. 33 yeah. in the weights.
Okay.
Wasn't certain to get in at all, but now obviously will.
But for the radio, what are you going to do?
For the radio, I think Gavin Cromwell has a really strong hand in this race. I interviewed him last week and it's just interesting how he's so motivated by progress. A lot of trainers, I think they, you know, you can laud the trainers that are from the older generation and, you know, the feel of the horsemanship or horsewomanship of knowing a horse and feeling all that. Gavin Cromwell is just progress, progress, progress. He reminds me a little bit of Aidan O'Brien in the sense that he's just driven by more winners. And I think he might have the winner for the... For my charity bet, I'm going to give one a bigger prize. But Now Is The Hour is my selection.
Now Is The Hour, yeah, is the main bet for Johnny Ebbett. 8-1 in the Irish Grand National for the radio. This is a 5 o'clock on Monday. I'm going to go with Bushman's Pass each way at 25-1, folks, for the Irish Grand National for the radio on Monday at Fairy House. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Saturday's action at Fairy House in Cork, some horses to follow from Johnny for the flat season, which you can't miss, and also our charity bet, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
So we have part two now of the pod, Johnny, and I was looking at Fairy House on Saturday. They've just put up the odds for this handicap hurdle, which is the 505, 59 grand in the pot, 16 runners yielding to soft. Jazzy Matty comes here off a win at the Cheltenham Festival over fences. Is he not surely thrown in? He's a course and distance winner at Fairy House. Danny Gilligan rides Jazzy Matty in this one. He's got, I think, 10-9. In this, you know, the way horses can run over fences and hurdles and have different marks. He didn't win a handicap hurdle the last one he ran in, but that was before Cheltenham. Is he not thrown in?
Yeah, I was at Down Royal the other day and I completely forgotten Pied Piper was one of the Caldwell dispersal and he cost an awful lot of money, like a massive amount of money, like something like 500 or 600 grand. And I don't think he'd won a race until he won at Down Royal. Conversely, Jazzy Matty was bought for 50 grand. And when I met Keane Collins in Sligo after this horse won on the 2nd of October, A, he said, I'm thinking of Cheltenham for this horse already. And B, he was, I don't know if this were on or off the record, but basically he said, I thought he was cheap at 50 grand. It was like, he's a Fred Winter winner. He's a Cheltenham Festival winner. He was only 5 at the time. Lo and behold, then he goes to Cheltenham and wins, well, off 135. Hard to oppose him off, you know.
4-1.
I'm just, the one thing about races like this, I don't really like backing horses going back who've been basically kind of chasing all year, going back over hurdles. Generally, I feel it doesn't work out that much, but it's a really nice race for him to go for. Listed race off his low mark. Joy Uz comes over, hopefully, as well.
Yeah, he's got £5 off, and...
which will be interesting. I mean, the British runners make such a difference to Irish jumps racing, and like, we're already thinking of Constitution Hill, and yeah. Jessica Harrington told me she has all of the hospitality ready for Nicky Henderson to stay over, just bring over the horse. But to come to the Irish National and this race as well, I mean, Stormbreaker, JD, as much, he's a horse that, again, could be interesting. Rachel Blackmore running, we haven't seen the best of him. Zillow and those colours could be interesting as well. I haven't really had time to go through it.
Yeah.
But Sierra Namond as well.
Yeah, well,
first start for Gavin Cromwell the last day.
Yeah, and won.
£10 higher. Cornerstone Walsh taken off 3.
Yeah, could be waited to follow up again.
I think I came across him in some shape or form in Gavin Cromwell's, and he came. But anyway, there you go. He was one of the horses I saw. £10 higher. He could have more to offer.
Yeah, and he's what? I'm just looking through the odds here. He is 8-1. Paul Tennan rides Calix de la Barriere for William Mullins. And this horse is a completely unexposed, really, in handicaps. Hard to assess. He won a Ballinrobe bumper and a Nace maiden hurdle. I did actually pick out Zillow. He tried at a high level. Very interesting for top connections off 10 stone 4, but Paul Tennan decides not to go there. Joy Uz might be better back at 2 miles after not appearing to get home in the Maris hurdle.
5 places each way for the fifth of the odds with Hills.
Good race this.
Great race to have a 5 each way and to get you going for the weekend. Hopefully if you win, then you can reinvest maybe your winnings in the National. But like 5 places, generally, JD, with the likes of Jazzy Matty, I'm just wary. He did finish second over hurdles 2 runs back to Samui, and he was weak in the betting that day, which implies that he was being sort of prepped for Cheltenham. But at the same time, he'd need to leave that form a long way behind.
You got 5 horses to recommend that we should follow for the flat season, and I appreciate you doing this, so maybe you might go through them there if you can.
Yeah, the flat is fantastic, and it's all the better for the fact that Ireland does not dominate the flat relative to Britain. Like, there's some of the really premier stallions have, I mean, some of the prices paid at the sales the last couple of days for horses, like, absolutely bonkers stuff. But anyway, there's money around in the flat at the moment. There's not really money in prize money, there's money if you want to spend it. And I mean, there are horses going for $1.5 million, but it's good pedigrees, nothing too flashy, but mad stuff. Anyway, of the horses I'm going to put up,
what's the first one?
First one's Bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
So I was at Carr a couple of weeks back when this horse made her debut for Paddy Toomey. Just bring her up here on the Racing Post website.
Owner Australian Bloodstock, 4-year-old.
I'm not sure what the long term plan is with Bubblegum, but she was well backed on debut. Now it looked quite a good race, and she went off 7-4 favourite. She beat Amira Jumeira, Goody Two Shoes, and these are horses, to be fair, rated 2 figures, but she really won. She travelled all over them, and she's a horse by Cloth of Stars, who was not a flashy stallion by See the Stars, but was placed in a couple of arcs. And given that she had very little runs over 1.5 miles, they're going to have a lot of fun with her. She, as you say, for the Australian Bloodstock. Billy Lee rode her with confidence. She looked very, very good in the day.
Johnny's 5 to follow for the flash. That's Bubblegum, number 1. What's the second one?
Second one I'm going to give is Tarima. I was at Downpatrick when this horse won at Leopardstown. Tarima. She's a half-sister to... Dermot Well was quick to mention afterwards how well he'd done with the family. But I'm just bring up the other.
This is an Aga Khan horse, the late Aga Khan.
Yeah, the late Aga Khan. I think that the Aga Khan's daughter now is kind of looking after things to an extent with Pat Downs. But she's by Loop de Vega out of Tirana, who's a good horse. And as well as being a half sister to Tarnawa, she's a half sister to Tahira, really good horses. And Tazaral, who won as well. What just was interesting at Leopardstown was she was backed into 4-7, and Dermot Well often starts the season well, but to be backed into 4-7 in a race like that, starting off as a 3-year-old, he said she was basically a bit too like immature / weak as a 2-year-old, but he said he haven't done a lot with her, and she's a fascinating prospect for the Oaks. I don't know how far she's going to stay, but really interesting filly going forward.
Yeah, she's entered in the Irish Oaks as well.
The race didn't go to, didn't go to plan for her, really.
Well, he had the winner of the Epsom Oaks last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same colour, so
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if just looking up her plans, I mean, it's not sometimes you'd be looking at a horse like that who maybe can, you know, go sort of to a mile or that. But Tarima, the with her pedigree and all of that, she might be a horse to at least get a mile and two. And Tarnawa obviously was such a good horse as well that, you know, and stayed a mile and a half, might be within her compass.
So number three, your third horse for your five to follow is?
I'm going to go with, what will I put them in some sort of order here? Lake Victoria.
Lake Victoria.
A big fan of her last year, out of Quiet Reflection by Frankel. Brilliant pedigree.
Unbeaten.
And there's a lot to be said for a horse being unbeaten, because you always, if a horse never loses, you can always say, well, he or she basically did enough and there could have been more there. We never found out a way to beat this horse. Even See the Stars was beaten on debut. I'm not saying she'll go through the season unbeaten, but Aidan doesn't have a million Frankels at home. Obviously, you know, Coolmore doesn't have Frankel. But I love the way she went about her business. And she was very highly like tried as a two-year-old. To go to the Breeders' Cup would have been unconventional given her pedigree, having won at the Irish Champions weekend. To go to the Breeders' Cup and win again, she's raced on different types of ground. Brilliant, brilliant filly.
Where's she going to go? Is she going to go to the Newmarket Guineas and maybe the Oaks, or is she only going to be a miler?
I'd be surprised, to be honest, even though, yeah, I'd be surprised if she got a mile and a half, so they'd be all guineas for me.
And then maybe Ascot, Goodwood.
Maybe a mile and two later on, and the Matron at Leopardstown or something like that.
Your fourth horse, senior five to follow?
It's got to be the Lion in Winter, who's going to run in the Dante. He's a rare See the Stars. I don't know if Aidan said he was the only See the Stars of that age that he had, or something like that. Anyway, he's a three-year-old, obviously, this year. There was a yard morning launch recently where he said he basically was unlikely to be ready for the Guineas. It's now confirmed he's likely going for the Dante. But he,
Epsom Derby, all roads lead there, though.
Yeah, and he showed... he showed as a two-year-old remarkable pace for See the Stars, really, over 7 furlongs. Very professional on his second start compared to his first. My idea of the Derby winner, anyway.
And your last horse, your five to follow, is?
You'll Remember Me.
You'll Remember Me or You?
You'll Remember Me, isn't it? When the West Wind Moves Along the Fields of Barley.
Oh, Fields of Gold.
Fields of Gold.
Field
of Gold, who presumably was... as we walk in Fields of Gold. So Field of Gold was superb in the Craven. Absolutely superb. Watch the race back. Wimbledon Hawkeye whose form ties in with the Lion in Winter, actually ran second to him the last day at York. He destroyed them. Absolutely destroyed them. And as I say, Kingman, a lot of them are not straightforward, but they have a lot of class. Kingman was touched off in the Guineas. I'd be all over the 5-2 that this guy wins the Guineas.
Johnny's five horses to follow on the flat this season on the Racing Pod, folks. And you got to get your notebook out when we name them, because I'm just going to do that right now. So Field of Gold, three-year-old, John and Teddy Gosden. Lake Victoria, a three-year-old filly for Aidan O'Brien. Tarima, a three-year-old filly for Dermot Weld. Bubblegum, a four-year-old for Paddy Toomey. And possibly the Derby winner at Epsom this year, the Lion in Winter, a three-year-old trained by Aidan O'Brien. We have as well the Queen's Cup at Musselburgh on Saturday. Johnny is looking here, 3:35, 1 mile, 6 furlongs. The horse that ran in the St. Ledger is favourite for it, with Oisin Murphy riding for Andrew Balding. Were you always, my dad always told me to look at the longest travellers, obviously, because the horse is going to go very far. They're not going to go there for nothing. So Musselburgh is a long way to go for a lot of these horses. For a race, though, that's worth a lot of money on Saturday, 51,000 sterling. Wild Waves, this horse that ran in the Ledger behind Jan Brugal. Oisin Murphy rides for Andrew Balding's the favourite. Wise Eagle won the race a couple of years ago. Daniel Tudhope riding for Adam Nicol.
Yeah, and Andrew Balding's horses are in good form. He looks like he's some nice types this year. Who was the horse I'm trying to think that won at the weekend? If I can get the name up here. Almeric won the field in ready style. His horses are in good form, as I say. We've some Irish Raiders in Newcastle on Friday this week. no Irish race on Good Friday, but some rare enough runner, Johnny Murtagh, some interesting horses going over. Tricky races. Americ is a horse who we last saw finishing second at Kempton to Military Academy. It was very, very impressive on the day. Good run from Americ, who looks like the step up and trip will suit him, son of Franklin. A mile and six of Musper will be a bit of a test, to be fair. And Align the Stars, interesting. Well, good, reasonable comeback at Nottingham. Wouldn't have a strong view on it, but probably Americ stepping up and trip. Very, very solid type last year.
Okay, Americ for Johnny Ward. This is Clifford Lee for Carl Burke, number one in the Queen's Cup at Musselburgh on Saturday. We've got Sam Norris and William Hill on the line. How are you, Sam?
Afternoon, chaps. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Chomping at the bit, so much so that I tried to join the party half an hour ago. That's how excited I was.
Look at that.
That's a huge chaps.
He was waiting outside the door for the door.
Tell you, I'd say no problem, no point in getting Easter eggs in your house because it'd be all eaten by the time you meet anybody else.
You know what? I'm actually not much of a sweet tooth. So
good man.
There we go.
There's not much call for chocolate in my house.
You're better off, Sam. You're better off. You've got to focus on Musselburgh actually on Saturday, the 150. You've got to focus on that race.
Yeah, top price guarantee race to kick off the action on Saturday. 3-2 on the field at the moment with William Hill, 8 runners in there. Invited has been the one that punters have latched onto. We only had the market out kind of a couple of hours, 2.5 hours maybe, but we stuck Invited up at 5-1 to begin with. That's immediately been hoovered up into 100-30 right now. There's a horse who's looked very progressive on the all weather last couple of starts. Not one on the turf as of yet, but interesting to see the money come for that one. And Hot Dancer, another that's been popular since the book opened, 9-2 into 4-1 for Charlie Johnston. Makes his handicap debut off a mark of 74. Could be very lenient. The horse who beat him on his last start last season, Geffen, came out and won at Newbury last week. So he could have races to be won with him off that kind of mark, Hot Dancer. But him and Invited, the two strong ones in that top price guarantee race to start the day at Musselburgh.
What's the thought process over there, Sam? I can't remember the horse, the stable switch, Sir Michael Stout to Andrew Balding, who won last weekend at, impressively. But Wiltshire Lads, who's by Wootton Bassett, who Aidan O'Brien has put, Coolmore put an awful lot of faith in, the likes of Twain and so on this year. This horse won at Sutherland the last day, rated 78. He's only gone up £5. Stable switch, which could you improve on out of Sir Michael Stout? Maybe you can at this stage.
Funnily enough, we were having almost the exact same conversation in the office a couple of days ago. And I think there is a big belief amongst a lot of people that there's going to be a lot of potentially well-handicapped horses coming out of that Sir Michael Stout yard. You know, obviously, legendary trainer, was very much a top-table operator back in his day. But there is maybe a little bit of a belief that the powers, maybe the enthusiasm, etc., perhaps just waned a little bit over the last year or two. So we're expecting to see a few extra Michael Stout horses well backed over the course of the first few weeks of the season. And yeah, there is a big school of thought out there. There's a lot of well-handicapped animals coming from that yard.
What about this Ferry House race at 5:05? You got a book now for it on Saturday. Really competitive 2-mile handicap hurdle. You got Jazzy Matty in there. Has anything been backed, I suppose, since the market opened, Sam?
Yeah, this looks an absolute belter, actually. Paying extra places on the race as well, you'll get 5 instead of 4. I mean, Joyeuse is probably the best backed in the race. 5-1 into as short as 7-2, albeit it's just settled a little bit now, has come out to 4-1. Obviously won the William Hill hurdle at Newbury earlier on in the season, not disgracing the mare's hurdle at Cheltenham behind Lossie Mouth last time around. Back in a handicap, interesting for her in this race. And as you mentioned, Jazzy Matty, I mean, he's going to have his supporters as well. He's 5-1 into 4-1, also joint favourites at the moment. Won the Grand Annual at Cheltenham. That obviously over fences, back over hurdles today. He's £10 lower his hurdles mark as well. So that hasn't escaped the attention of punters. But yeah, really nice looking race coming up that. And the front two have been popular, but you know, you could make each way chances for quite a few of them in a race where we go 5.
Have you had any indication of the market moves to the Queen's Cup at Musselburgh on Saturday? Because that's the race we've just gone through with Wild Waves, the favourite for Oisin Murphy, travelling all the way up to Musselburgh near whatever Edinburgh to ride up there.
Yeah, Wild Waves we put out at 100-30. That's been shortened up to 11-4. Oisin Murphy riding for Andrew Balding, of course, an association that goes back a long time. It's another extra place race as well, where we're going 4 places on the contest. And the each way cash, albeit only bits and pieces at this kind of stage of the market, has been in the direction of Faylak, who was 18-1 into 14-1. kind of blotted his copybook a little bit last time around, but prior to that, he'd been a real model of consistency. So that's the each way move, if you like. We haven't seen a ton of activity on this market thus far for Jim Goldie and Amy Woff.
Captain Cody is one of the horses I narrowed down, but then I picked Snipe. I picked Skeleton Horse and fell in the Scottish National last week. Captain Cody, 9-1, got an absolute head waiter ride from Harry Cobden, a brilliant ride to win the Scottish National. How is the Irish National market shaping up then for Easter Monday, 5 o'clock, Sam, at Ferry House? We're waiting for the declarations, the final declarations on Saturday, but 30 runners, it's down to 49 now. Are you seeing any moves since the latest declaration stage?
Yeah, we've seen a couple of horses backed. It would maybe not be a massive surprise to punters to know that they're both in the JP McManus Green and Gold. Canal End has been the momentum horse over the last couple of days, 10-1 into 16-1, horse who won at Navan last time around. So we've seen plenty of cash for that. And Bioluminescence is the other one, 25-1 into 16-1. Now, this is potentially the more interesting move of the two of them. Bioluminescence was a horse who had a lot of momentum behind her for the mare's chase at Cheltenham. She didn't run in that in the end. And then there was a kind of an interesting drift on her for her last run behind a horse called Spindleberry at Fairy House. Bioluminescence was kind of 8 to 11, 10 to 11 in the morning, drifted all the way out to 9 to 4 come race time, got beat by Spindleberry, who'd been well backed. I don't know whether something came to light that day because they had her in the mare's chase.
I'll tell you what came to light, Sam. I put her up very, very strongly that day and backed her. So that's why I could not believe. I think I was watching the race here. We were here on Football Saturday, and as Sam said, like, it was basically odds on out to 9-4. I was like, what? Like, this horse has run. And my theory was, like, they were thinking of the next day or a prepping for something. Gavin Cromwell did say he didn't expect her necessarily to run in the Irish National, that there was a grade one option for her.
She's a big horse. I wonder, does she take her racing? She's such a big horse.
Yeah, there was nothing about the ride that was yeah. Like, she was ridden forward.
I don't know. And she's not a plotter rider. She won her point on a yielding ground, but she's such a big animal that I just don't know if she takes her racing as well as she could. I don't know if the race suits her now, the Irish National. The hurdy-burly, 3.5 miles. She strikes me as a horse for small fields and soft ground. You know, she's been pulled up at Ferry House before, for example. The other one you're talking about there, Canal End, will need to jump better, but he's like so well handicapped.
Yeah, he's an engine.
Like, he is so well handicapped. Like, Mark Walsh's decision around this will be very interesting. Yeah. What he decides, because he's such a great jockey and obviously the Gold Cup winning jockey, but he'll know. Like, he does need to prove his stamina as well to take full advantage. But when you're talking about the best handicapped horses in the race, Canal End is one of them. I think Kintyre Kalnisi is probably one of the other ones. But I just think he's a lazy type. That I actually think headgear could help him. I don't know if they're going to put headgear on because he just got to jump better, but he does look very well handicapped based on the fact he was cruising the Leinster National.
Yeah, what do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I think very much say the point about how well handicapped Canal End looks. I mean, he's still going to get into the race, hasn't
he? He's 37, yeah, he might not get in.
Which is obviously a bit of a concern for, well, I mean, clearly it's not putting off punters because you don't have that non-runner money back concession like you would for Cheltenham and for the Aintree Grand National. So if you are getting stuck into Canal End, as punters are at the moment, you're going to do your cash if he doesn't get in the race. But clearly the belief is that he's going to, you know, potentially get in. I thought High Class Hero had a good chance of those at a shorter price, 8-1. Pleased to see that there's still some Willie Mullins horses left in Ireland as well. I thought they'd all come across the bad passes.
Surely he's going to win this thing, Sam. Like, surely Dan Skelton doesn't have enough, like, going to Sandown, for example, to beat Willie Mullins.
Yeah, it's a firepower thing, isn't it? You know, Willie Mullins has just got reams and reams and reams of horses that he can call upon that Dan Skelton can't. But in the last, well, this week, we've shortened Skelton up a bit. Willie Mullins, I think, was 1-7 after the Scottish National. He's 1-5 now. Obviously, Dan Skelton had Risk in the Ground winning at Cheltenham yesterday, earned a few quid there. Willie sends a great team to Plumpton on Sunday for the Sussex Champion Hurdle. They'll be thrilled. I mean, so, like Absurd and Cargese, I don't know if they're intended runners, but they're in the decks. So there'll be another battleground to be fought at Plumpton on Sunday. But I suppose the week's started on a positive note for Dan Skelton. He's shorter now than he was. But going into the National, he was 1-7. So, the book's been a bit all over the place, really.
Does this mean it's a negative for Willie Mullins' horses at Punchestown if they're all gone? I mean, obviously he wants to win the UK title for the second year in a row. It'll be an amazing thing. But is it a negative for horses maybe that will be targeted at Punchestown? Because they'll have run their race now? No?
Like if you're... Yeah, I mean, if you're being... It's not ideal if you're being prepped for Punchdown. You don't really want to be running between now and then. So yeah.
He'll win it, won't he? He'll win it. Surely.
Yeah, I feel he will. You know, I suppose your fantasy football captain really was the national, which just made you know, it's a funny one. The Trainers Championship for me is, it's kind of like, well, if you're only committing to it because you have a chance at the end, I don't take it that seriously. But at the same time, fair play to him if he wins it.
No, but it's a real negative for UK racing.
It is, but it's hard. It's just hard. I don't know, Sam. It's hard for them to get the owners over there to buy these horses out of Point to Points or out of France. The owners just don't seem to be there. It's not like the British trainers can't train.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, and you know, prize money wise, etc., Ireland has become a much more desirable place to have your horses trained. I think a lot of big British owners.
That's a misnomer, though. Our prize money is actually crap. Like, the more you look at it, our prize money is going backwards, going further backwards with inflation. And the British races, in fairness, even some of the flat races.
You've got a Hunter's Chase at the weekend at Haydock. I think it's Haydock that has got a massive pot. I was going, what the hell is going on here?
I have to really, like, I slag British racing authorities enough, but they've kind of worked it well that there are some very good pots pretty much very regularly. Yeah. And obviously a lot of low-key prize money for low-grade horses.
A veteran's handicap chase, right? Mm. With El Dorado Allen, who's been around about 100 years. Yeah. As the favourite, 51,440.
Yeah, and like I have to call you on that, Sam, because anyone in Britain who says Irish prize money is good, Irish prize money is not good at all. It really isn't. It's not good at any level beyond the Irish National.
Beyond maybe the festivals.
Yeah, but even then, even the grade threes listed race, Irish prize money is in serious, serious trouble, and I mean that.
Okay, time. Go on, sorry, Sam. You want to chip in?
I was just saying, I think maybe the consensus is the fact that racing's more condensed in Ireland, you have a lot less of it because there's so much racing on in Britain.
Yeah.
You know, 363 days a year we race, which obviously helps Irish field sizes because you haven't got the vast number of races through the course of the week. So maybe the kind of consensus is that they have less racing, so the money can be pulled together a little bit more, but perhaps not the case.
Yeah.
We're going to do a charity bet to finish. We're going to put myself and Johnny €12.50 each way on horses for the National. That's right. We're going to spend our €50 this week for William Hill's charity bet. 5 o'clock on Monday, the Irish Grand National at Ferry House, Easter Monday. Johnny Ward, €12.50 each way on
Noble Birth.
Noble Birth.
Yeah.
Gavin Cromwell.
He's a very, very interesting runner. I'm actually surprised how big he is in the bet, and he's sort of been a bit unheralded. I saw 33s. I'm not sure what the Hills price is.
Noble
25
to 1.
25 to 1. Noble Birth, €12.50 each way with Johnny for the Irish National on Monday. I'm going to go with a 25 to 1 shot as well. Bushman's Pass for the Irish National on Monday, €12.50 each way on Oliver McKiernan's Bushman's Pass, who won the Leinster National.
You nearly said Bushmills there, didn't you?
Well,
very,
I mean,
very,
there'll be lots,
very close.
There'll be lots of Bushmills, maybe little small sips drunk.
Are you a Bushmills fan?
Only in moderation, Jay.
Yeah, everything
only
in moderation. Yeah. Although, yeah.
Including moderation.
Yeah, moderation in moderation. You know all about that, Sam.
That was the charity bet. That was the charity bet on this week's Racing Pod. Sam, thanks so much.
Cheers, chaps.
Johnny, thank you. Enjoy the Irish National. We'll be back next week. We'll chat then on the Racing Pod.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.